Let us pray. O Lord, open our eyes that we might see. Open our ears that we might hear. Open our hearts that we might love and our hands that we might serve. And take our souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Before I begin, I'd like to take the opportunity to thank you all for the prayers and concerns that were shown during my recent hospital stay. Receiving a note or a card from someone who doesn't have to send a note or a card is very special indeed. Thank you all. It meant so much to Angie and I. In today's gospel, Jesus asked his disciples who people think he is. Hospital time is a good time, I found out, to ask that same question to myself. Who do I think I am? Who do I think I was before it all happened? The last time I was in the hospital, I believe I was in the fifth grade to have my appendix removed. I can remember I wasn't a good patient then, and I have been told I wasn't a good patient this time around either. No matter what age we are, we feel we are in control of our lives and our direction, or want to be. But suddenly a life-changing event occurs, and the control we thought we had is gone forever. And that, surprisingly, is a good thing. How many times have we heard, "Turn it over to God and all will be well"? Let God have control. But unless we have a good reason to turn it over, or we feel all hope is gone, it's not an easy thing to do. I'd like to share with you an incident that happened to me during the end of my hospital stay. It happened Thursday, which was the day before I was to be released. The need for constant care had passed, and I was asked if I would surrender my private room and the special attention I was receiving and moved to a semi-private room on the third floor. I was told that there was a need for my room for someone in need of that constant care. My first reaction was, "Please, no, not now." But I remember when I was in the ER the first night I was there, I was in a similar situation, waiting for someone to step down so I could have a needed room. I reluctantly agreed to move and turned it over to the Lord's hands. I can remember I said, "You are in control." I'm not sure I really meant those words, but I hoped all would be well. As it turned out, the rooms on the third floor were not filled, and I was moved to a quiet room with no roommate and experienced the most peaceful night of my stay. It's hard to surrender our control, but I learned that night, with a bit of trust, good things usually do happen. What stops us? What prevents us from saying yes to God? Sometimes we have to ask ourselves, how would the Lord treat the same situation? I don't think he would choose to stay. He would move on and make room for that person in need. But the story does not end here. That evening, something happened. Even now, it's hard to explain. That night, I had the most meaningful conversation with the Lord that I can ever remember. Nothing mystical, but I believe life-changing. The thought that came to me that night is what we are called to do in this life is to tell our stories. Share those stories with those who need to hear them, because something that we experience can help those struggling with the same thing. Jesus told his stories, I believe, for the same reasons. I believe we are called to do the same. We are here for others, and their needs are our needs. I'd like to share a story this morning about someone who I believe knew who he was, although others might question it. One of my favorite comic strip is Peanuts. Even now, after the death of Charles Schulz, its author, I still enjoy reading the reruns. I believe Charlie Brown was the perfect example of a person who knew who he was. He never gave up, even though all the baseball games were lost, all the test scores were D minuses, the great pumpkin never came, and the football was always pulled away. He seems always to pull himself together to fight another day. The Peanut story wasn't about failure. It was about perseverance. It was about a hopeful, moon-faced boy holding a kite string day after day until the rain forced him indoors. It was about a life that was not perfect. It was about not giving up the fight and trying once again. A lesson for all of us. I believe Charlie, to me, is sometimes my other self. He also is a good example of what we have in Peter. Peter was impatient, stumbled around, asked the wrong questions at the right time, and gave the right answers at the wrong time. But eventually he finds his way, becomes the rock, as Jesus calls him in today's gospel, and helps Jesus to continue his work here on earth. He learned well who his God was and who he was called to be. Charlie stumbled a bit, and it seemed like he always chose the wrong direction, but I think he knew who he was and joyfully accepted it. The question that we hear Jesus asking his disciples in today's gospel is a familiar one. Who do people say that I am? The disciples and even ourselves make Jesus into who we need him to be, project on our own wishes, our own aspirations, our own interests. My hospital stay is a perfect example. So the real question isn't so much who Jesus is, but more of who we are. Who we are to ourselves, who we are to Jesus. So the question becomes, who do I say that I am? Maybe not for the same reasons that Jesus asked it, but don't we want to know who people think we are? Don't we want them to think the very best of us? And as we grow older, this question becomes more and more important. We want to know if people have the right idea of whom we pretend to be. The question becomes more important as we reach certain milestones in our lives. When we turn 30 or 50 or 60, as we approach the golden years of 70 and 80, we look back on our lives and how we lived them. We want to know how people perceive us, if we measure up to their expectations. But I really don't believe it's about how we look to others, but more of what and who we have become, how well we have lived the different roles of our lives and what we've learned from them. We think of Jesus to be the Son of God, which he truly is, but on his journey here on earth, he was also the son of Mary and Joseph. He was a teacher, a healer, a forgiver, and a friend, and most important of all, a savior. That is who Jesus is, but what about us? Who do we say that we are? For me, I'm a husband, father, grandfather, father-in-law, brother-in-law, Roman Catholic deacon that has residence here at St. Peter the Fisherman Episcopal Church, a friend, and most important of all, a child of God. I am all these people, but not necessarily at the same time. These are the roles I live and learn from, with the exception of one, that being a child of God. That's not a role, it's my identity, who I really am, one that helps me to be better at all the roles of my life. I keep trying to be a better husband, a better father, a better grandfather, a better deacon. And it is in the trying and learning that I grow to be more committed, child of God. I believe that you are no different than me. Our roles might differ with the exception of one, that being a child of God. If I may, I'd like to turn again to my old friend Charlie Brown. This time it's Lucy who has planned a picnic for the next day. She says to Charlie Brown, "I just hope to goodness that it doesn't rain." Walking away, Charlie answered, "Hoping to goodness is not theologically sound." Charlie's right. Hoping to goodness has no sound at all. We all want others to think well of us, and we all want to become better at who we are, who we pretend to be, whether it be a better husband, a better wife, a better father or mother, or a better friend. We only accomplish this by our hope and trust in God. It's not so much who we believe we are or who people perceive us to be, but it's who we have become as children of God. As we come to Eucharist this morning, let us pray that we will find a way to tell our story and share it with those who are in need of hearing it.